Content for the following program was provided by the Teton County Library.
Hey, everybody, turn off the TV. Meet me down at the library.
From the back of the stacks.
Library, 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 library.
Hi, I'm Rebecca. And today we have a special guest, Pauline Towers Dykeman, the Executive Director of the Teton County Library Foundation and a very avid reader. So I'm excited to hear what you've been reading this summer. And even though summer's almost over, we decided that it doesn't mean you have to put away your summer reading list.
Always time for reading. It's been fun to talk with communications team at the library in getting ready for the Friday Reads that just ran last week on Facebook about specifically a great book I read this summer called Exit West by Mohsin Hamid. It's not a book I normally would have picked up by myself, but I'm in a book club and that group selected it. Shout out to Susie Temple over there at the Book Trader. She was the one who, in fact, was struck by the cover art, which is really pretty stunning, and brought it to the club. So,
did you discuss it already?
We did. Yeah. Unfortunately, that was a couple meetings ago, so it's not as fresh as I'd like it to be. But the book itself, yeah, I mean, is one of these terrific sort of transportive, takes you to a world that is so unlike a world I think most of us know. It feels modern, perhaps slightly futuristic, but essentially to a world where essentially everyone is a refugee to some degree or another. People are all moving around through what you give yourself over to in the book as magic doors, essentially, that you can open a door and go to an entirely different world with the caveat that you don't know what world you're going to. You can't elect where it is. And so it's this really interesting, I guess, development conversation that happens between these two main characters, Saeed and Nadia, who the world that they're living in is not currently in a full-blown war, but feels like it's very much on the verge of it. And then things just escalate and get worse and worse. And watching them and their relationship evolve and how they come to make the decision that things are bad enough that they're going to run the risk that going through this door may take them somewhere worse. And clearly they're hoping it takes them somewhere better. So I won't spoil it for you to say where they land, but it's not the only door they go through. So,
definitely sounds like how it would feel to be a refugee and having to take chances.
Exactly. That's how I felt, that it was, you know, prescient for the times that we're in, probably to some degree or another, you know, for our future, if not the doors, at least the situation of everyone feeling to some degree or another that they're migrating from something or fleeing from something that either is political, financial, not the right fit for them. Really interesting narrative that is not linear. You're sort of jumping all over the place, it feels like. It's short, and so there's the plug for that if you're not looking to take on, you know, some weighty tome come the fall. It's amazing what Hamid manages to do and the questions, the depth of the questions he's able to get the reader thinking about in such a short period of time. I highly recommend that one.
And you've already got me thinking about this idea of what if your life is framed through going away from things instead of being able to choose to go towards something? Because as you said, they can't choose what they're going toward. They can only choose what they're leaving behind. And
exactly. No, fascinating on that level. And in the, I think on the level of, you know, really inviting the reader to fully put oneself in the shoes of why do people make these decisions? What are the circumstances either within them or outside of them that would lead them to make choices like this, especially into the unknown explicitly in this book, but I guess to some extent or another, for any refugee going anywhere, it's unknown. It's completely unknown. Perhaps in a certain generation, you knew you were going to a family member, you were going to meet, but that all assumes everything goes well, everything goes as planned. And so, yeah, really stretched, I think, my muscles, my mental muscles, imagination, et cetera, in terms of thinking, what would that be like to get you to open that door when you didn't know where it would take you?
Did your book club like it overall?
Yeah, overwhelmingly, yes, which isn't always the case in that book club. There's often a pretty big split. The writing is spare and evocative, and the story's so compelling, really, and timely. So I think everyone, she is an interesting character, I think Nadia more than Saeed. So there were some who just had more questions about her. I think maybe she's the more engaging character of the two. But they're both, I think, quite well developed. So, yeah.
And you spoke of spare, evocative writing. And another book I know you read this summer, spare might not be the word you use to describe the writing style, which is The Idiot by Elif Batuman.
Right.
I was looking at some reviews of the book, and I liked the review on NPR where they kind of point out that she actually dislikes what she calls crisp fiction that streamlines or that is compared to apples or whips sharp, I guess, and that she encourages the writing of long novels and pointless novels and calls The Idiot a long wander of vague rummage as simultaneously absorbing and off-putting as someone else's incredibly long dream.
That's a great characterization of that book. Yeah, it's one of those that for me was, I was slow getting started on it because it has that very meandery kind of windy, it's, you know, set during the main character's freshman year in college. Just that certainly, you know, captures that sense of transition to a time in one's life that can feel somewhat timeless. Some classes, but then a lot of downtime, but then some more classes, but then a whole lot of downtime, but then getting to know roommates and having time away from roommates. It just does feel to some degree or another like somebody's overlong dream for a while. And it's very much in the head of the main character. I did find, after at first feeling that it was a little bit too in her head and a little bit too slow, that I liked her and I could relate to that period of time that's just so full of questions and so full of, who am I? What do I really want? Is this what I really want? Oh, there's a love interest. Is he really a love interest? Does he like me? Do I even really like him? And she winds up studying linguistics, which I happen to have really enjoyed as an undergrad and actually even in grad school. So that quality about her was appealing in the main character. It is the antithesis of Exit West, for sure, as you pointed out, in terms of style. But yeah, equally as engaging as long as you can stomach a little bit of meander, wander, rummage, as you said at the beginning. So, yeah.
A funny thing they point out in the review is that in some cases she describes objects and things with a lot more warmth and energy than she does her love interest, for example.
Yes, or people in general.
Right, people in general, that the characters end up being kind of flat. And meanwhile, they mention specifically like the croissants come to life.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, and you actually get a whole history of the croissant. Who knew it was a Turkish invention, not French? And she is just wrestling with some really interesting questions about the limits of language, what it can do and what it really can't do, and different languages having different ways of expressing things. And so, yeah, I would wholeheartedly agree with that characterization that landscape she evokes really beautifully. And place, travel. I think she'd make a great travel writer. But the characters are kind of on the flatter side, I would assume, intentionally, you know, worth the read, I think.
And then to spice things up a little bit, you added some nonfiction to your summer, not just fiction and novels.
Right. Yeah. An interesting contrast, or kind of funny, to a title of The Idiot is I've been getting ready for Dan Siegel's upcoming visit in October. His most recent book in paperback is Brainstorm, The Power and Purpose of the Teenage Brain. That is entirely worth a read, especially before he gets here. Whether you have a teenager or soon-to-be teenager, very dense on the one hand, but very light actually compared to some of his other books that I've read. His background is just fascinating. And in terms of understanding the unique set of circumstances that exist on the verge of and then well into adolescence for both males and females, and what the positive, what the upside is of adolescence, those, you know, increased likelihood for risk-taking behaviors, novelty, all these other things that I think most of us think stereotypically, it's what you want to kill a teenager for. And, you know, the super shorthand of this book is he is able to say, here's what's going on, here's the positive side of all of that, and in fact, here's what some of us who maybe are in midlife, who maybe are missing out on that positive, the positives of those qualities in our lives could learn from what teenagers are able to do because of the unique cocktail hormonally in terms of brain development that's going on in their lives.
And I think it is interesting to connect it to The Idiot because that freshman in college kind of fits into this period of brain development.
Yeah. And I think the tendency, I guess, is for those of us who have teenagers in our lives to sort of, you know, just sort of buckle up and feel like you have to gut check it and get through it. And what I think his book is really effective at doing is saying, okay, there's that side of it. And then you could choose to reframe it and see these things as really great opportunities for not only the teenager going through them, but for yourself as the parent too. So, and I completely agree. I think it's absolutely relevant that the main character in The Idiot is still herself pretty much a teen, according to what Dan Siegel would say is adolescence. So yeah, interesting way to look at that book too.
And there's still plenty of time to read his book if you want to read up before he comes and gives a public presentation here in Jackson.
Right, exactly. He will be in Jackson on October 26th for his free public presentation. He's doing some work on either end of that, I believe, here as well. But for the public, it's October 26th at the Center for the Arts, 6 p.m. And folks can follow the center's website to get information about when those free tickets get distributed. It is a partnership. It's being presented by St. John's Medical Center, Girls Actively Participating, the Teton County School District, and the library. So four groups coming together to make this happen. And it's, I think, going to be really fabulous. We're so lucky to have that collaboration going on and to be able to hear him speak directly. I've spoken with many people who have heard him present over the years and say he's just outstanding. So
I'm definitely curious to find out what I can learn from the teenage brain.
Even relevant for people who probably, you know, to your point, employ, you know, kids who are high school or college age to have a better sense, even if they don't have kids themselves or if their kids are grown and out of the house. It's a fascinating window into that time and what essentially, you know, neuroscience is able to show us now is actually happening.
Pauline, it's a pleasure. It's always a pleasure to talk with you about books, to get ideas and inspiration about what to read next. Thanks for joining us.
Happy to be here. Happy to talk books anytime.
Thanks. Thanks for listening.
Hey, everybody, turn off the TV. Meet me down at the library.
Library.